Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults, by adults, containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised. Is a twofer.
No problem.
Yeah, we did just fine last time.
Yeah,
absolutely. Had a safety net, so yeah, I think we're good.
Cool.
Listeners, hypothetical peoples, and whatnot, welcome back to Full of Sound and Fury podcast. I'm Cyrus Mortizabi from Kirkland, Washington. I went into the woods without my antihistamines, see, and I'm paying the price.
Oh, man.
So I will be relying on my co-conspirators a little more than I normally do. But still, the show must go on. So with me tonight, a man of many podcasts and even greater talents, from Austin, Texas, Ariel Rodriguez.
Oh, that's very flattering. Thank you. Hello.
And maybe other people will show up later as well.
Yeah, maybe some surprise guests. I don't know.
But don't count on it. Maybe I'll stop draining too, but we'll see what happens.
Man.
Yeah, it was a bad time to forget the Zyrtec, evidently.
The woods are rough.
We had a good time. It just
that's good.
Forgot one pill that would have been better still. All right. I don't know where we're going to go with this one, but I know where we're going to start.
All right. Where are we starting?
This is going to be an intentionally broad-based question.
Okay.
In your estimation, who won San Diego Comic-Con International 2016?
Oh, man. That's tough. I think I still give it to Marvel.
Okay.
I think in terms of variety, they had more stuff, but what DC had was very exciting, in my opinion. So it was close.
Okay.
Do you agree?
I surprisingly am leaning towards Warner Brothers. And I say Warner Brothers because that to me is a very different entity than DC.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. It's more on the movie and TV side than on the comic side, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Comic-Con is not about comics. And we'll probably come back to that at some point. But I have a caveat with that. That I felt like a lot of their announcements, not a lot, but several, a couple of them in particular, were basically acknowledging they had fucked up some previous projects and kind of promising to do better.
All right.
Referring to that Justice League quote, I don't even know what you call that. I guess it's a teaser. It's not really a trailer.
Yeah, 2.5 minute teaser.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's long for a teaser, right?
Yeah, that's usually a trailer. But,
it's bizarre.
But it wasn't that because it didn't have – I mean, it wasn't structured like a trailer, so I don't know.
No. Yeah, it was structured like an apology.
I guess so, in a way, yeah. You're right.
And Arrow Season 5's panel, I think, kind of played that way as well.
Oh, yeah, that was apologizing left and right for the last two seasons, I think.
Yeah. I'm not even going to say they're wrong to do so. So there's that, which isn't great, but it's good. They seem to understand that they've effed up a little bit. And then, I think for me, the number one thing that came out of it that got me the most excited is the Wonder Woman trailer.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Really got me excited for that movie.
I am pumped to see that movie.
Yeah. Which, you know, going in, I was sort of, I don't know, ambivalent, I guess, about it. I mean, mm-hmm. I was hoping it would be good, and, you know, some folks were saying good things, but there just wasn't a lot of content. I mean, the end of Batman vs. Superman really, you know, Wonder Woman really shone in at the end of the film, so, yeah, there was some hope, but that trailer really got me. It was like, okay, now I'm in. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, the tone feels very right. And the action looks really friggin' awesome.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think if you got those two things, I'm cautiously optimistic that we're about to get a badass Wonder Woman film. Okay, now, all that being said, you picked Marvel.
Yeah, I just felt like Marvel had more to bring to the table that's coming out sooner.
They did.
he has, like, those two movies and Suicide Squad.
Like Goddamn Winfrey.
Yeah. They have new shows with Fox, mm-hmm. Legion being one of them, being the one that they advertised. There's another one that they, I guess, announced a while back, but they haven't didn't have a trailer or anything yet for it. But Legion, then they had Luke Cage. The trailer for that was off the chain. And they had a trailer for Iron Fist. And they announced that Ghost Rider will be featuring in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4. So they're just, right. like, all out on TV.
All new Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, they had a new Doctor Strange trailer. They announced a new Captain Marvel. I mean, they had a bunch of Guardians of the Galaxy stuff. I mean, it's just, you know, the quantity of stuff was really good. And the quality for what was there was good.
Yeah.
Certainly not as much of a, you know, you kind of expect Marvel to be high quality now. So it's not like shocking when you see some of the stuff the way maybe some of the Warner Brothers stuff was, because we just didn't know what to expect. But I thought they had a great showing.
You know, it's funny. I think you missed a couple things, even in that smorgasbord.
I'm sure I did.
There was the Spider-Man Homecoming untrailer.
Of course, yeah.
Which was just really apparently a cool panel, but everyone's super pumped for.
Yeah, they didn't have any footage that they released to the public, but I heard it was really good, yeah.
Because still making it.
Yeah.
And I don't, maybe this came post-show, but we have Daredevil Season 3 is officially a go.
Yeah, I think that was maybe announced at the TV thing, but afterwards Netflix said, yeah, but don't expect it till after the Defenders. So 2018. Yay. Same with Jessica Jones Season 2, 2018, and possibly The Punisher. So we got a long wait for more Daredevil and more Jessica Jones.
We do, but it's because they have so much of their crap they got to get to first.
I know.
So it's kind of like, all right.
It's just, to me, it's a bit strange. You know, logistically, I don't know enough about what's going on in the background, but, you know, two series is kind of limited on the Netflix side. Whereas, you know, yeah, it's been crazy and the quality's been kind of up and down, but, you know, hey, CW's got four shows, so a year. So what's going on, Netflix? You know, give the fans more of what they want. So maybe they just want to keep the quality up. I'm willing, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the CW shows. I think that's kind of why I was leaning towards Warner Brothers. I think everything I heard from Flash Season 3.
Yeah.
Which would basically be Flashpoint. Sounds friggin' awesome.
Yeah. So, I know Keyshawn's not here, so he can't shake his fist in ire, but so they said that Flashpoint would also affect Arrow, right? But they won't say how. Everybody's cagey about that. You think they'll bring Laurel back?
I really hope so.
Because they just signed Katie Cassidy, I think, to like a four show, like she can appear in any of the four shows or something. Like her contract got renewed. So it stands to reason in my mind that she'd be back.
Yeah. I sure hope so.
I've been
as critical of her as anyone, but I really do believe that Oliver Queen and Dinah Lance, or Laurel Lance as we know her in television, that's one of American pop culture comic books' great romances.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping they get back to that. And if Flashpoint is how we do it, that may even be the best way. Just like, you know what, let's start over.
We
screwed this up too bad.
And the whole structure of it's got me, you know, excited and interested in how are they going to pull this off? Is it going to be like a season long thing? Is it going to be over in the first episode of Flash, where they're going to get out of Flashpoint and everything's over, and they're in some sort of New 52 type scenario? Like, I wonder how they're going to treat this whole thing. You know,
well, you just spoke in holy words. Let's hope they don't do that.
I wonder if, you know, if it's also like a way of like smashing Supergirl into the rest of it. You know what I mean? Like
that's interesting.
They could use that as a springboard.
Well, I know Superman has been cast.
Yes.
We have a Superman.
It's about time they just kind of dove in headfirst with that stuff. I mean, the season one just kept beating around the bush so much there was nothing left around the bush they went around so many times.
Why is he constantly in a bright sun? I can't see his face ever.
It's like they just call him Lens Flare Man because that was all he had. Weird.
Western exposure, man. What? All right. I guess he looks Superman-y enough. I mean, that will be secondary to how good he is in the role.
Looks a little more like the Dean Cain version than anything, but it's fine.
That's fine.
We'll see how it goes.
Does he have the underpants? I can't remember.
No underpants, because that is copyrighted by somebody else, and so they're no longer – no one's allowed to have underpants.
That's right. That's part of the litigation from the Schuster estate, I believe.
Yeah, you're right.
That's why the pants had to go.
You know what? Everyone's better for it, so they can keep the damn underpants. That's all they managed to have out of the whole darn thing is the dude doesn't have red underwear. Congratulations. Citizen Kane, clap for you.
I suspect that's not what they were after, but it's what they got.
Yeah. And I think he doesn't wear like a yellow belt anymore either. Like the yellow is completely gone. You know, he has like a belt-like thing around his waist, but it's always red.
Well, I believe it's part of Rebirth in the comics. They're bringing the yellow back.
Oh, okay. I didn't see the new costume. Okay.
Yeah. Well, no one actually buys comic books anymore, is what we're discovering. So, I don't think you're alone.
Yeah, it's tough out there.
But, I don't know. Again, credit unlikely to DC. I think Rebirth, I like the idea of trying to get back to basics. And I like the double shipping of the main characters.
Mm-hmm.
Do more of what you guys know people want. Tell more stories with those guys.
Yeah, it's almost like just give the fans what they want and they'll buy the comics. I'm surprised by this. No one wants Superman to be a dick? Unbelievable.
Yeah. Hey, I get it more than once a month for $4. Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had to, like, suck for 4 years to figure this out, but they did eventually figure it out, it looks like.
Yeah, you know, better late than never.
I guess. So John Barrowman is also signed to all four series as well, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Because he's sort of he's leading the Legion of Doom, right? That's like the big bads in League of Legends of Tomorrow is what I mean.
Oh, I had not heard that.
Yeah. So Reverse Flash is going to be there, and I'm missing somebody, another villain from Damian Dark.
Ugh.
He was. You know, Neil McDonough did a good job. He had fun with the role. We'll see what he does with the rest.
That's super fair. I'm glad you said it. Damian Dark's problem was not that he was bad. It was that he was miscast as a Joss Whedon 24-episode, full-season, big bad. Damian Dark cannot carry that much story.
Or he could if they had actually had a 24-episode plan, but it didn't seem like they did. It was just kind of...
That may be true as well. Yeah. I mean, yeah, season four was rough.
Yeah.
And then is it Baron Mordu they were trying to, who the hell is that guy supposed to be? I don't even remember. Constantly pontificating about Providence, Mr. Queen.
Yeah, I don't know.
It didn't matter. It so didn't matter. Beyond the fact that I've seen this big ugly head once before.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it came down to.
And I learned nothing. It didn't land in the interim.
Somebody just wrote down on a sheet of paper, magic rears its ugly head, and they just had to go from that one sentence into the whole season.
Yeah, literally. That's what they ran with. Oy. But I think there is hope for season 5, in all fairness.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. You know, if they go back to the base elements and they work back from that, I think they can be just as successful as the first two seasons.
I think we're going to get the best flashback sequence since season two.
Well, it's about damn time we figured out what happened with the Russians. I mean, come on.
Right. Yeah.
That should have been a season three flashback, if you ask me.
Yep.
But whatever.
Instead, right. The season three flashback kind of tanked that year.
Yeah. You know, honestly, like so they killed off Amanda Waller, right? I think that was earlier this past season.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? I guess folks were saying, well, it's because they choose in Suicide Squad and they didn't want confusion. And I wonder if they're kind of reversing on that attitude by casting Superman and stuff like that. And they realize, oh man, we really painted everybody into a corner and it sucked. So
I'm hoping at some point they're going to actually empower Geoff Johns to run this show instead of saying they're going to. I feel like he gets promoted to a new position that means absolutely dick every year.
Yeah, I you know, where and he sits and what he does is like impenetrable at this point.
Right. It's apparently he's there and they don't listen to him. That is what I am gathering each and every time. It's like could you bring me a coffee? I used to do that for Richard Donner. So you know where it's at. It's like, all right, thanks.
Yeah.
10 years of experience. You don't give a shit? All right. Here's your fucking coffee. I am not in on this Justice League flick, though.
You don't think? Oh, I saw you tweet that you thought the humor was forced.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I enjoy pieces of it. The banter between him and Wonder Woman, I enjoyed. Mm-hmm. The Flash, you know, it's like such a different Flash than what we've grown accustomed to now in two seasons. I don't know how I feel about that character.
The relentless optimism appears to be there.
Yeah, finally.
A guy who's excited about being a hero, which is a real deviation for Zack Snyder. Previously, it was like, who can beat the biggest asshole in this movie?
You know, I recently watched the Ultimate Edition of Batman vs. Superman.
Oh, please walk me through this. I'm dying to know.
So, I mean, it's adds half an hour, but fundamentally it's the same movie. I mean,
which brings it up to 5 hours, right?
I think it's just over three, yeah.
God bless, okay.
But the one thing that it does do better than the theatrical cut is make you more aware of what Lex Luthor is doing. Like it ties all of the loose threads together a little bit better.
Okay.
How involved he is with everything. Cause they have this character, Jenna Malone, who works like at a lab, like a crime lab or something. And she has a couple pivotal scenes with Lois. And there are a couple other scenes that have been tweaked to kind of really just make it more clear. Hey, Lex maneuvered everybody into fighting each other. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a slightly better movie. I mean, it's still Batman vs. Superman, but it's a slightly better movie than what you saw in the theaters.
Okay. You know, that's a really good point. And if that's what it's doing, that's probably needed. Because one of the critiques that I don't agree with is that Jesse, what's-his-face, is terrible as Lex Luthor. And I think it's because, like, no. He manipulated all these people over a great many months into this battle royale.
Right.
It's pretty clearly not clear to most people who watch the film that's what was going on.
Right. And the Ultimate Edition fixes that.
Okay, that's good. Because, you know, there's a lot of problems with that movie, but I don't, with respect, and Alex, we've seen a lot of different takes on that character. Yeah. I don't think that was a bad way to go. I thought it worked okay.
Yeah, me too.
He was just, we don't need to go to this again.
Yeah, we had a whole episode devoted to it, more or less.
Exactly.
Anyway, it's, you know, if you want to see a version where that's painted a little bit better, Ultimate Edition is your version.
Yeah. Or just watch Avengers again and be happy.
Yeah,
it's your call, listener, but that's my vote.
The War comes out in September. I'm on home video. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious to see how that'll do with a rewatch.
Yeah.
I liked that. I didn't love it.
Yeah, I really liked it.
I wonder if it needs to sit some more. Sometimes I do.
Yeah, and it's really a Captain America movie. I think if the first time I saw it, I've seen it twice in the theater. The first time I saw it, I was really caught up in the whole Avengers spectacle of it. But at the heart of it, it's still a Steve Rogers movie. I think that really, I appreciated that more the second time around.
That's good. I felt like that's accurate. I think if I guess my critique would be that maybe sometimes it doesn't spend enough time with him grappling with his place in the world, which I think is really what the film was trying to do.
Yeah, I think a little bit. I think his obsession with Bucky was really like the carryover from the second movie into the third that really just drove everything.
Yeah.
And then everything else is just happening kind of around him almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the loyalty and his no man left behind thing is very clear. I think what's less clear, at least to me, and maybe I just, second viewing will help, is the idea, why is he so adamant against registration? Why is it so clear to him? Why is he so convinced that he doesn't need to, he and his those like him don't need to answer to a governing body?
Yeah, and I think maybe you're right. Maybe there's not enough kind of description of that. They didn't flesh that out so much. I mean, I think for Tony, it's very clear.
Yes, and that's actually, I think, something it probably doesn't get lauded enough for. The guilt he's grappling with is very clear.
Yeah.
And it makes sense.
Yeah, I think they really, maybe they almost went too hard on giving Tony motivation and not enough on Steve's side.
He's such a talent. It's hard not to write a story for him. I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, maybe.
It's hard to just take the camera away from RDJ.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
That may simply be what it is. Just they just like, you know, he went from like not being in the movie at all.
Yeah,
to second billing.
And we'll see what happens in Spider-Man, right? Because he is in that movie too.
Yes.
So what's going to happen there?
He's going to get killed instead of Uncle Ben.
I don't know. Oh, we got Infinity War. He's still got to be there for that.
That's true. Oh, which is the official title now. They dropped the part one. I saw it today.
Yeah, and the part two is untitled still. Everything's, moving
Infinity
forward.
War plus one.
Infinity plus Infinity War.
That's a really tough thing to follow title-wise. I don't know what they're going to do there.
I don't know. What was after Infinity Gauntlet? There was like another thing, right?
Yes.
Infinity Crusade? I forget.
That sounds correct.
Yeah, who knows? So it feels so far away. It's like, whatever, man. I'll take it as it comes, because this is a lot between here and there.
Yeah, that's true. But there's just so much that comes out now, too.
Yeah. Do you see the whole thing about Kurt Russell being Ego and being Star-Lord's father, of all things?
I did.
It's crazy.
I don't know how your dad can be a planet, but I'm excited to find out.
Yeah, me too.
I think that'll be fun. Yeah. So okay, do we get three Marvel flicks next year, right?
Spider-Man, Guardians 2.
And Thor 3, right?
Oh, Thor 3, yes.
Yeah, we get three. Dizam. Yeah.
They start to go three at a time starting next year, forever from there.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think Black Panther comes out early 2018.
Yep. You get Black Panther, you get Captain Marvel, and you get Infinity War, I think.
That sounds right. And Inhumans will come out sometime.
That's been like postponed indefinitely or some nonsense.
Yes. Because it's just so much shit to get to.
Yeah.
Still no Black Widow.
Still have a time to be a comic book fan. And
no, I'm sorry. Movies. Say again. Google dropped you there for a sec.
I was just going to say it's been a hell of a time, despite the disappointments of not having a Black Widow movie.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a time to be a comic book fan going to the movies.
Yeah.
I mean, both companies now are ramping up, you know, to crazy levels.
This is what I think is interesting. Comic-Con, what I'm hearing now, it's evolved yet again. About 5 years ago, it moved away from comics to basically just being all in on TV and film and whatnot. Now, what I'm hearing is that film outside of Marvel and DC, no one cares about. People are there for Marvel, Warner Brothers, and television shows.
So why not make a separate show for that? Like a separate convention?
I don't know.
So that Marvel and Warner Bros. could make money on the tickets if they had their own.
Well, Marvel, being a subsidiary of Disney now, kind of does with D23.
Yeah, and I guess maybe it's just an obligation that they have the Comic-Con presence more than anything. Yeah.
Well, Marvel has been synonymous with comics for decades now, so.
Yeah.
It kind of is their show, except, you know, when DC deigns to, you know, have some stuff also worth giving a shit about. So how do you feel about all Marvel Now or whatever the hell the damn thing is called? Do you think it's weird that the comic books have completely different protagonists than the films?
I think it is a little weird. I mean, I'm glad. I like the direction Marvel is going in and shaking things up a little bit. But it is weird that there's this like dissonance right between the films and TV properties and the comics. Yeah. And maybe over time they'll start to, you know, go more in the direction of where the comics are. I don't know. But it's a bit strange how they're doing it, you know, like an unrelated product almost. Like, yeah, you have Iron Man, but Iron Man is a different person, and that's okay. Both from a cultural perspective, for sure, but then from a business perspective as well, I'm surprised on the business side. But
yeah. I still remember, you know, 16 years ago when Fox put out X-Men, the first one way back when.
Yeah.
And then there was they tried to do a tie-in comic that was completely unintelligible. It looked nothing like the damn film. And they got, you know, taken to court and public opinion there, and probably rightfully so. But I don't know. I guess it's pretty clear that those fan bases are very, very different now.
Yeah, I guess so. And maybe that's just...
it's a result of them going mainstream.
Yeah, so the mainstream folks have their continuity, and the comic book folks have their continuity, and everyone maybe just coexists. And okay, sure.
Yeah. Here's a theory I've been working on, though. When you tell me what you think about this. Now more than ever, the creators are being reimbursed for the creations of the characters they make and work for hire. Is it possible that they're throwing new characters out there as a way to possibly get paid on the back end if those characters are optioned for film?
You mean like a new Iron Man or a new...
Yeah, let's say... 7 years down the road, Riri Williams is in Iron Man 7.
You think Bendis would get paid for that extra?
I know he would.
Huh. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some contract shenanigans going on in the background we don't know about.
I just think it's very interesting that we're seeing a lot of new and a lot. Well, actually, a lot of it's not even new so much as they're just repositioning them.
Yeah, I mean, it fundamentally, they're just a slight tweak. Mm-hmm. I mean, they seem earth-shattering, but the old incarnations are still around. It's not like they're not around. So, if anything, they're just broadening the market in terms of having multiple versions of the characters.
I think your average moviegoer would be shocked to discover that in the comics, Natalie Portman is Thor. I think they would shit a brick.
Yeah, but... But it's weird because, like, no one is, like, thinking, oh, my God, does that mean Thor 3 is going to have a woman Thor? Like, there's just such a disconnect.
Yeah.
You know, and hell yeah, let's have a woman Thor. Who cares? But, you know.
Yeah, as long as it's cool, I don't care. I just.
Yeah, it is strange to imagine how people would react. But like you said, it seems like two different markets, like two different fan bases.
Yeah. And there's some overlap, but the comic people pretty clearly fold into the movie one, which is much bigger.
Yeah. And maybe that's just the way of things. You know, like Marvel had their fingers on the pulse of it and realized, hey, we want to go creatively one way with the comics and another way with the movies, and that's okay. And the comic book people will fold into the movie thing just fine.
Yeah.
And that's our market. Those are our fans. And here we go.
Yeah.
Start printing money.
Yeah, no shit.
I mean, you know, Disney has like the top two or three highest grossing movies this year so far.
Well, that's kind of that's what they're going to be doing, I think, for the next 5 years, or I would think.
Yeah.
although Rowling is going to throw her hat back in the ring here very shortly.
True. I think worldwide right
she's
now.
She's bringing Eddie Redmayne, so I'm scared.
Yeah. So worldwide right now, according to Box Office Mojo, Captain America 3 is number one, Zootopia is number two, and The Jungle Book is number three, the three highest grossing movies worldwide. And that's a grand total of $3 billion in worldwide gross.
And this is pre-Star Wars Rogue One, by the way.
This is pre-Star Wars Rogue One and does not include Force Awakens from last year.
Oh, my God.
So, and then, you know, wait till they start throwing Indiana Jones into the goddamn mix.
Oh, yeah. It's coming.
Yeah.
We got a Han Solo trilogy. I believe I think that was announced at D23. But pretty much relevant to this conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know. Those guys have properties they're going to milk forever.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I enjoy that milk, though.
Yeah, me too.
That's good stuff. As long as it's good, man. Keep
drinking
it out. I'm excited for Star Wars Land or whatever the shit it's going to be called.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Which I think is coming out sooner than I realized. I want to say like 2018 at the latest.
Oh, huh.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That is crazy. Okay, so what else, anything else big that was announced outside of the big two?
Not that I recall.
Yeah. I know Fantastic Beasts and Where You Find Them was announced.
Yeah.
But I think that may be the big one. What the hell are we talking? Oh, yeah, other things that happened at Comic-Con, which apparently was nothing.
Yeah, I can't think of other properties that were announced.
I don't know if this was announced at Comic-Con or just the same week, but apparently Divergent is doing so poorly that it's being televised.
Yeah, I don't know where they announced that either, but yeah, now it's a TV movie and then a possible miniseries afterwards or something, I don't know.
Right.
Ouch.
To be fair, it's not good.
Yeah. I wonder if the young adult kind of craze in general is dying down a little bit.
The box office returns of things like Jungle Book and Zootopia would suggest that little kids are where the money's at least for the moment.
Yeah.
But I don't – did the Maze Runner perform?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't either. I feel like if it had done well, we would have heard about it.
Yeah.
Those are the big three, right? It's Hunger Games, Divergent, and then Maze – Scorch Trials or whatever the shit it's called.
Yes.
Oh, there was another one too that I think did badly because I can't think of the name of it. Like The Fifth Wave.
Oh, right. Yeah, I heard that tanked. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it did not look good to me either, though, so I'm not surprised.
Oh, well.
Yeah, two flops in a row. That's usually enough to scare Hollywood away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't think of anything else coming out of Comic-Con.
No, I think that's it. I mean, that's a lot, but
yeah,
for sure. But yeah. Have you seen Star Trek Beyond?
I have.
Okay.
And I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Okay. I did too.
Have you seen it already?
Okay. I did. we were looking for something to do last weekend, and it had a higher fresh rating than Ghostbusters did, so we picked Star Trek Beyond.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked it.
It was awesome. Yeah.
I didn't love it. I rarely love Trek films, unfortunately. It's hard to, mostly because they're just really hard to make. It's hard to make a really good one. There's a number of beats you have to hit, and the cast is so big.
Yeah,
there's a lot of juggling that goes on there.
Yeah, I think they did something this time around, which they, I don't think they've done much with the Kelvin timeline.
Yeah, is, yeah.
Separate out the team and the crew into teams of two, and kind of have them have their alone time with each other a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, structurally that did pretty well in this movie, because it just you got different pairings than you usually expect, and like, you know, Kirk and Chekhov and Spock and Bones, but it worked, I thought.
Everyone was pitch perfect too. Everyone sounded the way they should have.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Three movies in, they better.
Yeah, right. Simon Pegg really, you know, he really hit that. And then we had the reversal from the original timeline. This time, Kirk does not accept promotion.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody mentioned this on Twitter. He kind of hates the Enterprise a little bit at the beginning of the movie. And maybe, you know, in a sense throughout, like, he doesn't appreciate the Enterprise as a ship. Like, you see, like, in the at the end of the, or the beginning of the first original series set of movies, Star Trek Motion Picture, like, he is, like, staring at the ship or something at the beginning.
All right.
And in this one, he's sort of like, yeah, this sucks. And it's really the crew that he has an allegiance to more than the ship and the kind of the legacy of the ship itself.
I think you could level the same thing at Paramount.
Yeah.
They've blown that thing up about seven times now.
And, you know, honestly, like, you'd expect it's true, but you'd expect the characters to be more important than a non-sentient ship.
Ideally.
So, ideally.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed that. He got all the character bits. Justin Lin, I know everyone was scared.
Yeah.
Sometimes directors can tell lots of different stories, you know, like a George Miller. He can follow Happy Feet 2 with Fury Road, and both right. Both are exactly what they need to be. Other times you have a Tim Burton where he's got one gear. He's really good at that gear, but if you take him out of that, you get Mars Attacks. And it's 2 hours of, what the hell did I just watch? Where is Johnny Depp? I don't understand. But no, Lin definitely, yeah, he got the velocity scenes like we figured he would, but he also got the slower stuff really well too.
Yeah, good dynamic range that he showed. Yeah. Everything really gelled together really well. People were pissed off about the whole like Beastie Boys thing, but it made sense to me. I don't know. It worked. And they had the whole, is this classical music joke that did pretty well. I don't know.
Maybe it is. Yeah, I actually liked it. Because they were able to tie it back into the, you know, the first film.
Right. I was just going to say the same thing. Yeah.
Someone I also saw on social media, and I thought this was interesting, was like, hey, it's like it's the Robotech thing again. It's pop music as a weapon.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. That's a good poll. So you haven't seen Ghostbusters yet then?
I have not.
I've seen it. And I really enjoyed it.
Okay. Let's get into this.
So that's my book. Okay. I mean, it's
so,
not.
So let me make sure I understand. It didn't come into your childhood and destroy it retroactively?
No. In fact, there are some aspects of the new one that I like more than the original.
Okay.
Take that, fanboys. I mean, it doesn't feel like an Ivan Reitman movie, because it's not. So you have to kind of separate that out. But it was a good film. It's a good team, like good kind of gelling of the different, you know, actresses together. in terms of their characters and their roles. The kind of, you know, like, what's the best way to say it? Like the marquee jokes that they show in the trailer aren't the funniest aspects at all. Like, have you seen Spy?
I have not.
So if you watch that movie, and you watch the trailer for that movie, the funniest stuff is almost never in the trailer. All the sight gags and the easy jokes are in the trailer to capture the broadest audience. But there is some hilariously brilliant shit in both those movies that is just too fast to put in a trailer. Like, it's just too rapid fire, too witty, too hilarious.
That's so interesting. That's what scared me off that film.
The first of Ghostbusters, before they even introduce any of the, or maybe it's the first two minutes, whatever. They have a ghost show up before they introduce the cast. That this actor who plays Jared on Silicon Valley, his dialogue is hilarious. Hilarious. I was almost falling out in the first 2 minutes.
Okay. Awesome. But it
just doesn't translate to a trailer. Like, there's just no way.
I know that all of a sudden, Kate McKinnon is the darling of the internet.
Oh, yeah. Her character was awesome.
Yeah.
And just got more, like, she was quirky and weird at the beginning. It was hard to kind of figure it out, her out. And then by the end, you're just, you're sold. You're a fan of her character.
Yeah.
And Chris Hemsworth, the dude was hilarious. You've never seen him like that. He was really good.
That's cool. Very cool. Villain, all right.
You know, the villain isn't as scary. It's not as cohesive in terms of the major plot arc as the original is, in a way. But the story beats and how they come together as a team are just fantastic. Totally worth watching.
Awesome. Is it funnier than Deadpool?
I missed what you said there for a second.
No worries. This episode of Full of Sound and Fury podcast, unsponsored in part by Google Hangouts. No worries, man. You've been dropping a little bit for me as well. But no, I was asking, is it funnier than Deadpool?
It's funny in a different way.
Okay.
I think Deadpool is a lot more like kind of a random and kind of one-off gags, almost like Family Guy style in a sense. And Ghostbusters is a little bit different. Ghostbusters is more, when it gets into it and it gets into a rhythm on the humor, it's closer to 30 Rock or Kimmy Schmidt than it is Family Guy, if that makes any sense.
Okay. Got it. Yeah, I finally saw Deadpool. I really enjoyed it.
Nice. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Did not expect. Oh, it's my favorite movie of the year so far.
Wow.
Yeah, that's part of that's damning 2016 with faint praise, I think, but I really liked it. That was very, very funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Morena Baccarin still got it. My God. At some point she'll stop being hot, but I don't know. We're not there yet. I think she might be the new Marissa Tomei. She's just like, no, I'm going to always be hot.
Marissa Tomei coming out in Spider-Man next year.
Yeah, as Aunt May, and I don't Aunt see May. It. I don't see it. Well, that's awesome to hear. I'm glad Ghostbusters is good.
Yeah, I definitely recommend checking it out.
Awesome. Have you watched, and I don't want to mess up the name here, there's a new Netflix show that is called Buzz.
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things. There we go.
Yeah, speaking of 80s throwbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is so 80s. I'm halfway through.
Okay.
It's 8 episodes. It's sort of like a mixture, like a 70% Steven Spielberg, Amblin Entertainment vibe and 30% Tales from the Crypt.
I'm sold.
Yeah, I highly recommend checking it out too. That is
okay,
really good. And it just kind of out of nowhere, like, what is this thing? But give it an episode or two and you'll be hooked.
Yeah, it feels like it was zero fanfare. And then much like Pokemon Go, over a weekend, everyone's talking about it.
Yeah. And it's set in 1983, and it just has that, it recaptures that time like so perfectly. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember Freaks and Geeks way back when had a similar response to it, but then it was gone. after a year. So I was like, well, is it more than just nostalgia? Or is there something? Is there some meat here? I hope so. But
yeah, I think there is for Stranger Things. I think it definitely has a modern sensibility to it too,
because
of the structure and stuff. So
that's awesome. Yeah, I need it, it's. I'm in that summertime slump we talked about last time.
Uh-huh.
Sports hasn't started. It's just, it's all PGA and the fucking, the worst political cycle ever.
Like, yeah, well, let's Stranger Things. And if you get a chance, check out Mr. Robot as well. Both those I recommend.
Is season two holding up?
So far, so good. Yeah, it starts off a little slow, but season two is definitely holding up and building out, you know, what it's set up in season one.
I don't know if we talked about this yet, but I finally saw Voltron.
Oh, okay. What'd you think?
I thought it was incredibly excellent.
Yeah.
I didn't think Americans can still make cartoons like that.
Have you not seen Legend of Korra or Avatar: The Last Airbender?
You know, I haven't, and that's a good response to me saying that.
Because it's the same. It's two of the executive producers from that show, not the showrunners, but two producers from that show are the showrunners for Voltron.
Okay.
So it has the same pedigree, sort of.
Yeah. It was. It's so good.
Yeah, and they freaking ended on this hell of a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I was like, you got to be kidding me, man.
We do get season two before 2016's out, though.
Yeah, thankfully.
Yeah, so that's cool. Yeah, I was shocked how much I enjoyed it. I miss Finn a little bit. But pour one out for him.
Yeah.
But yeah. But I like the mystery of Shiro. It's almost like Oliver Queen in Arrow.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
he went through shit for 5 years, but we don't know what shit he went through.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, everything is just really, really well done. I'm glad they didn't just remake the original, and they actually tried to make something new out of it, in a sense.
Yeah, and yet it's amazing how much they retained.
True. Yeah, it's just a good reimagining, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't feel dated.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's some nice twists, you know, with the whole thing with Pidge.
Yep.
I'll try not to spoil. But yeah, I didn't just like it. I was shocked at how quality it was. I mean, it's one of those rare things that really works, I think, on different levels for different ages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really think Avatar and Korra were similar in that respect.
Awesome. I will have to check those
folks managed to, like, make one of those shows where a kid could watch it and get something, and then an adult could watch it and get something slightly different, more appropriate for their age.
Awesome. So I meant to ask this before we left the topic, but I think I cut out on you. Regarding Star Trek, how did you feel about Idris Elba?
You know, I think he tried to do the best he could with the material he had. It's just the villain, like they have a villain problem, sort of, where it's just kind of one-dimensional.
Yeah, that was my big problem with it. And I'll try and be general here to once again avoid spoilers. But Krall, his character, is presented one way, and then through the story we get, and this is, I guess this is a minor spoiler, we get a twist, and his motivation is radically different than we think it is. And I think my problem with it was, is either of those presentations is fine, but when they tried to do both, I think they robbed the character of his gravitas.
Yeah, I agree. He's not as scary, honestly, once the twist happens. Like, it just sort of falls kind of flat. And it's, you know, honestly, it's kind of shades of Khan from 2, Into Darkness. Like, in terms of wanting to get back at the Federation and whatnot.
It's interesting. He's both Cumberbatch as take on Khan, and he's Admiral Marcus.
Yeah.
But they try to stick it in a way. It's like, we just went to this rodeo.
Yeah. It's like, can someone please stop trying to blow up the Federation?
Like, yeah.
Go mess
from
with
the inside.
Else.
I just.
Yeah, can we have Klingons, something? I don't know.
Yeah. That was, yeah. And it's I feel like doubly a miss because Elba's such a badass.
Yeah.
Not to jerk him off again on this podcast, but to have him and not crush with it is a little disappointing.
Yeah, I agree.
I would still endorse the film, but I think that's what kept it from being like one of the all-time great Trek films.
Hmm. Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
It also reinforced my opinion that this Star Trek needs to be a television series like Yesterday, and I'm ready for that damn thing to come out.
that was a Comic-Con announcement, was Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah, but I think that was like the total announcement. Yeah, we're making it, and we gave it a name.
And here's a cinematic of the ship, and we're done. That's it. That's all we got right now.
Yeah. Oh, and streaming.
Oh, yeah, streaming.
Right, yeah.
Sort of.
Because, But aren't you CBS? Yes, but we want your money. And streaming is so hot with the kids right now.
Add another monthly feed here to your collection.
Star Trek Discovery is coming to Snapchat. Why? Why would you do that? We thought you wanted it.
Because millennials, damn it.
Exactly. Star Trek Go. That was sweet Jesus if they actually made that. Somewhere there's someone thinking of that right now. It's just horrible.
I'm sure there are. There were rumors about a Harry Potter one, and Niantic, the company that makes Pokemon Go, was like, no, we're not making a Harry Potter one, okay? Take it easy. I mean, they have problems enough with the Pokemon one. They got to fix all the problems with that one. So.
Yeah. It doesn't seem to be hurting its momentum, though.
No. I mean, it's a terrible app. Like, I've played it. It sucks. They got a long way to go to make it solid, but it doesn't matter. It's Pokemon.
Yeah. I go to a park, and you watch people playing it. So.
Man, I was at the Arboretum here in Austin, and my fiance and I were getting dinner. And we decided to walk over to this little park area where there's these cows, these like stone worked statue cow statues.
I remember it well.
And it was full of people playing Pokemon Go, like two dozen at least. People just standing around, walking around with their phones out in the middle of the night. It was a sight to be seen.
I wonder if Barton Springs is just all that right now too.
Good question. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Aaron's super into it. We just she just caught a bunch of Charmanders on the coast because I don't know why he's hanging out on the beach, but that's where Charmander's at.
All right. as you do.
Fire salamander on the tide pool. All right.
All right.
What else is coming in August?
August. I don't know. It seems dead to me.
Yeah, that's kind of why I was asking. I feel like, am I forgetting anything? Is there just nothing coming out?
Oh, Suicide Squad comes out.
Well, that's right. I'm gonna look it up. Oh, there's a movie called August.
Okay.
So we get Jason Bourne 12. That's good.
Right. That came out this weekend, actually.
Oh, right. All right. Yeah. Bad Moms.
Great.
Yeah. I'm sure that's probably okay. But
there's a Ben-Hur remake coming out later this month, apparently.
We have The Purge : Election Year.
Great.
Yeah, okay, I think it is just Suicide Squad, as far as I can tell. And then we just kind of wait it out until Doctor Strange comes out in November, I guess.
Yep.
Well, either that or maybe the actual movies will start coming out.
Yeah, I mean, and once September hits, all the shows start, TV shows start coming back, so.
Yeah. Well, it feels like it's October now.
Yeah, all the CW stuff. CW stuff's in October, and I guess Luke Cage is the end of September, so roughly October.
Right, September 30th. Yeah, yeah. And then the CW brings four shows a week. Oh, my God.
yeah.
And what am I forgetting? Westworld for HBO.
Yeah, it's October as well, I believe, yeah.
Yeah. I see that they finally announced that they're caving on the whole Game of Thrones forever.
Yeah, eight seasons. Deal
yeah.
with it.
Yeah. It looks, I guess they haven't given up on a spinoff, but the actual extension of the main series appears to be something that they're going to respect the creator's wishes on.
Yeah. I'm fine with it. I mean,
oh,
it's
yeah.
nice to have an ending to a show.
Don't stretch the shit out of it. If you don't season four Arrow it.
Wow. That's now the standard bearer. For
Is there a better example of that?
I can't think of one, honestly.
Just running the motherfucker right into the ground. Maybe season three of Lost.
There's got to be like tons of examples, but I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Yeah. It's been a while, though. Hollywood apparently has abandoned that, thank God.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't work.
No.
It took, several decades for them to figure that out, but yeah. It doesn't work.
Well, it was just some market competition.
Yeah.
That's what it came down to. And the availability of streaming.
Yeah, I think streaming did really just change things completely from a... Yeah. structural perspective.
For the better, for most part, I think.
I would agree, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some dark times coming ahead. Because I'm sure I gotta figure that there's a point where we're gonna start getting awful television just because these guys need content so damn badly.
Yeah.
So there's some crap coming, I imagine.
I'm sure. I mean, Netflix has so many shows now, I don't watch them all. I don't like half of them, at least, I haven't seen now at this point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think there's more than I haven't. But some of the old Star Wars are still chugging along. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia has 10 years under its belt.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought. When is that Dark Tower series coming out? Do we know?
Oh, I don't know. They're filming it now. So it must be next year, I would imagine.
2017. All right.
Yeah. It's a sequel, so they confirmed that, which I thought was very cool. It's not a telling of the book. It's actually a continuation of the story of the book.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because I haven't read the book, but I know the basic plot beats. And,
it's a seven-book series.
Yeah, well, I guess it's a sequel to the series, so like the... There's a rep. He repeats the cycle that he goes through in the whole series. That's like part of the conclusion of the book, of the series. And so I think this movie is like the beginning of another cycle. If that makes any sense.
That hurts my head. But I'm on a lot of ketchup drugs, so.
he goes through on this journey, right, through all the seven books or whatever, correct. And then at the end he goes through this. Portal or door or whatever. Sorry if this is spoiling a whatever 30-year-old book series.
Yeah, right.
But and then at the end of the book, like I think Stephen King even like writes in the book, like if you don't want to be pissed off, stop reading right here. And then if you keep reading, you realize that he steps through the portal and he arrives back at the beginning of the first book with things slightly different. But
oh, it's like Inception.
Yeah, like, well, he keeps going through this cycle and getting to the Dark Tower, and then the Dark Tower reboots him back to the beginning, and he doesn't actually achieve what he wants to achieve, sort of.
Oh.
So it's like, it's always been happening in this cycle with slightly different, with things slightly different every time, but at the end of the series, he has this, like, horn that he doesn't normally have at the beginning with him already, and so that's sort of, like, pointing to that maybe this lasts. Sequence will, or the sequence that you just started over again will be the last. And I wonder if the movie is that last sequence.
It's like Terminator Genesis.
Hopefully, which, much better though.
Which was not good. No, that's fine. Whatever. I mean, It'll be good or it won't. Whatever, right?
Yeah. It, you know, it's just interesting that they're going with it, you know.
And I forgot what else what I was going to ask you. In the, because I was focusing so hard trying to figure out the impenetrable plot point of that. Actually, I was just going to comment. I rarely say this, but I'm glad Keyshawn was not here.
Oh, why?
Just that description would have, like, sent him into a rage.
Oh, that's true.
That is such a Japanese ending to a story, and it would, it would, tables would be flipped.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't enjoy most anime series, huh?
No. Well, they don't stop. Certainly not satisfactorily.
Yeah, for the most part. They just, you know, this cultural thing, they're okay with it.
Yeah, although Bleach is coming to an end.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Man, that manga, I don't know, man. It's like he's really just trying to tie it all together by the end, and I'm not sure I'm enjoying it very much.
Oh, is it falling apart there?
I just feel like he's trying to, like, make all the characters from the past show up conveniently in places, and the whole, like, it's just getting too big, and it's kind of almost collapsing under its own weight. I'm not sure how it's going to end. I mean, in terms of the details, but I'm just kind of like, all right, I'm finishing this because I've been reading this freaking manga for almost half of my life, but you know, it's like
you got me this far.
Yeah, just let's end this thing already.
Tito Kubo, Tite, excuse me.
It's like finish it, damn it, finish it.
Oh, I think we can leave the podcast there.
Finish it, Tito, is the name of the episode.
Finish it, damn it. I think that's the first time we've uttered those words and not been referring to George R. R. Martin. We've had Rogue Roth on this episode. You got anything to plug?
Well, we're on a little bit of a hiatus for Yes, You're a Writer, but our first season is all available on SoundCloud. So just go to SoundCloud.com/YesYou'reAWriter, or just go to SoundCloud and search for it. So we've got good episodes there about structuring a story and writing stuff. And then once the summer's over in the fall, speaking of things that start in the fall, we'll start season two, which is more focused on the industry of writing books and how to get your novel noticed and into the market.
Nice. That will do gangbusters.
I hope so.
No, that's information people want.
Yeah, and I just, you know, my co-host just so happens to be a many times published writer, so she knows all about that stuff.
Look at those credentials. It's not like politics where you just can just say shit.
Yeah, we try not to go that direction. It's strictly no bullshit podcast.
We use facts and science and journey into the realm of thoughts. Well, Ariel Rodriguez, thanks for being here.
Thanks, man.
I have been Cyrus Mornazavi of Kirkland, Washington. My own quick plug, I will be at Anime Fest in Dallas, Texas, and in the Bizarre Bazaar, a.k.a. Artist Alley, except they don't want to call it Artist Alley, at Table G5, August 12th through 15th. I'm almost positive that's correct. I'm literally terrified to look it up because that's when, like, the feed started acting up earlier.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I'm pretty sure that's correct. If not, Anime Fest, a little Google search, I'm sure, will correct that for you. This and previous episodes of Full of Sun and Fury podcast are available at fullofsunandfury.com or via subscription to iTunes and SoundCloud. This has been a Rise Again production, copyright 2016.